This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You're listening to the Steve Carino Show on placetobenation.com. Now, here's your host, the king of old school, Steve Carino.
Coming to you live from Corolla, North Carolina, in the Outer Banks, it is the Steve Carino Show. I'm your host. Who the hell else would it be? It's Steve Carino. And the Steve Carino Show is brought to you every week, free of charge, through the Place to Be Nation. But if you want to contribute, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/Steve Carino and get one of the four Carino-inspired t-shirts. There's a Steve Carino shirt, Mr. Wrestling 3, Premier Wrestling Federation, American Tiger shirt up right at this moment. And we've talked about it now for 2 weeks. There's only 2 weeks left in the sale, maybe one. I don't even know what day. Yep, there's 2 weeks left in our contest where you order a shirt, order as many shirts as you can. You get $5 back for each shirt once they come in and you tweet it out at Ken Carino, at Steve Carino Show. You get $5 back. So you're not really spending $19.99. You're really spending $14.99 to wear my face on your chest. Awesome. Hey, also, do you like to order from High Spots? Bah, of course you do. They have everything from wrestling rings, wrestling gear, belts, DVDs, and DVDs hosted by me, Steve Carino. We just filmed a great one last week with C.W. Anderson, but click on that High Spots link on worldofcarino.com. You buy, they kick a little bit back my way. It's kind of like me double dipping. Tonight's show is going to be great. I got my buddy Guillotine LeGrand on, and he's going to be joining us to tell us a lot of great stories of his time in Puerto Rico, his time in Japan, how he got started. This guy is definitely one of those underrated minds in the wrestling business, and he's just so smart, and he just really has never been given the chance that he deserves. And we're going to have him on because I really want people to see the real Guillotine LeGrand. And it just sometimes with professional wrestling, and I've said this to many people, the not the best guys always get to the top. And sometimes the best guys, you know, get lost in the shuffle. For me, LeGrand is one of those guys. You know, he was always like, you know, a decent wrestler, an amazing, amazing heel. And we'll get into the first time that I ever saw him wrestle when we interview him. But it's just sitting down and talking to him about whether it's be booking a show or creating a character. And this guy has just a plethora of knowledge. A lot of people still to this day, and we haven't done it in, you know, 11, 12 years, is the list that we used to do at Ring of Honor, where I would have LeGrand in my corner as my corner guy. I would have a couple of my students as young boys, and Bobby Cruz was my personal ring announcer, and we would have a list each time. But LeGrand was, man, he was a co-writer, and we came up with some of these good ones, and you know, he also helped me with a lot of the booking in PWF back when we were running in Pennsylvania. So I'm really, really excited about tonight's show. Hey, I want to also thank everybody that listened to last week's episode with the icon Matt Hardy. He was great. I really think that it was a quality show. I never in a million years expected it to just flow that much, because what you guys saw or heard last week was the real Matt Hardy, that the guy that I know and love, and you know, he's so positive, and you know, he does everything that you know is right now. You know, he's lived such a life of, you know, doing things right, and then you know, falling off the path, and you know, really falling down hard, and you know, keep getting, you know, make a mistake here, but he's really tried to make the best of it. And he's definitely an inspiration for people that are looking for that second chance. Matt is that guy. Now, this is a big week. This week, WWE Money in the Bank will be happening this Sunday. It's going to be absolutely amazing. And I heard a rumor, and he's going to have to confirm it, and he's probably talked about it for weeks. I heard my producer, Dan McGinn, will be in the house. Is that true, Dan?
That is true. Me and a bunch of characters from the Place to Be Nation will be in attendance. We're going to have a nice little group together. Voices you've heard quite a bit from, Justin Rosero, Roger Morissette, the Cowboy, Andy Flanagan, like a bunch of us are just going to be there. Prior to even me being a part of this little circus, guys had been making trips to the Royal Rumble and all kinds of other events, and thankfully this one's right in my backyard. There's no excuse for me to miss this one, and like we've been talking about the last few weeks, this is going to be a great show. This could be one of the more memorable shows, not only of the year, but maybe of the last few years. It's, you know, we're guaranteed a world title change. You can't guarantee that every single time you go out, so I'm really excited about it.
Me too, actually, because, you know, for me being inside the wrestling business for 20 years, sometimes it's hard to get excited for a monthly pay-per-view when you're watching, you know, because you live the life and sometimes you just want to be home and be away from it. But and we talked about this for the last couple of weeks. I believe the WWE is running on all cylinders right now. They have so many options, so many young guys coming up that it's going to be a great show. And usually for me, I look forward to the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, but this Money in the Bank event on this coming Sunday is definitely one that I want to sit down and watch. And like, sometimes I also gauge by, you know, what my wife gets excited about, because she's not a wrestling fan. So it's always exciting to see, like, if she's excited for this pay-per-view and she wants to watch it and see what happens, I'm thinking, wow, now you're getting the person that's not really a fan, you know, interested in it. How's that, you know, go around the world? And we'll get into some preview and predictions in just a second, but we're just coming off the heels of Ring of Honor presenting their first live pay-per-view in the traditional sense, Best in the World 2014 from Nashville, Tennessee. And, you know, for me being there, it was a lot of fun. And now, Dan, you would watch this, right?
I did. There was no way I was going to miss this opportunity. It was a big night for Ring of Honor, big night for you and Yellow Jackets. I mean, there was no chance I was going to miss out on this opportunity.
Tell me that Yellow Jacket wasn't the greatest thing you ever saw.
You know, it's probably something I would never wear, and not even on a bet, but for some reason, on that night, in that venue, it was just perfect on you. There was nothing else I could even imagine you wearing on that night besides that yellow blazer.
Now, I got to ask you something. Did you watch it in HD or did you watch it in regular?
I actually was planning on just watching this on my iPad when I first woke up that morning. I was like, you know, I'm just going to do the whole streaming thing, whatever. I'm sure the Ustream people will appreciate that. And the night before, I had went out to a Chinese buffet with my family, and I told them, oh, the pay-per-view is tomorrow, Steve's going to be on the air, and you know, it's going to be much different from the last pay-per-view that I watched on WWE, and blah 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 blah. So I was really hyping up the event, and they go, oh, well, do you think they have it on Dish Network? My dad just got Dish Network. I go, I don't know, I'll have to check. I'm sure they are. And then, so anyway, long story short, my dad called me the next day and says, why don't you come over with a pizza and we'll watch it together on the Dish Network, because he's really excited about Dish Network.
Apparently he is, because you've just mentioned it four times like their new sponsor.
Maybe they'll listen. Maybe they're listening to the show right now. I could keep saying it if you want.
I hope so. Give us some money. Give us some money.
So anyway, we did watch it on Dish Network in HD. It looked fantastic. You know, I don't even think the Jim Rosses of the world could get upset about lights or production value. The set looked great. The video boards looked great. The hype videos between matches was fantastic. It was a really entertaining show.
What was your favorite match?
My most favorite match. You know, no match was under 11 minutes, as I found out. So they really jam-pack a lot of action into every match, which was great. I really, and it's not because he likes my smile, contrary to popular belief, I really enjoyed that tag match with the Briscoes, Hardy, and Bennett. I thought it was so entertaining. great spots. There was kind of that weird kind of false finish, but then he had threw in Nigel came by and said, you know, no DQ, and it turned into a complete free for all. And I'm amazed that Matt Hardy. I mean, I was telling my folks, I was like, you know, Matt Hardy was like, you know, he was doing some work and jobbing and having like, you know, preliminary matches with WWF back in like mid 90s, and here he is in 2014 falling off, taking suplexes off ladders onto tables. It was phenomenal, and your commentary during that match was hysterical. I mean, your love affair with the heels in that match was top notch.
And you know, and that's the thing. It's, you know, I always try to make Matt seem way bigger and more important than, you know, he is, even though he is, you know. But I had a lot of fun calling that show. And you know, me being an announcer is a tough spot because, you know, if you think about it, the three main companies that are on television right now, you got the WWE. So their color commentators are Jerry Lawler, who at one time was the best heel, you know, in the business. And then you have JBL, who kind of just throws his stuff out there. But then you have TNA, where there's Taz there, who, you know, it's just Taz, a New York guy. Well, with me, I just kind of, you know, I have my favorites. You know, I love Cedric Alexander. I hate BJ Whitmer. I like, you know, sometimes I like a babyface, hate a heel, and I play that off. But then, you know, sometimes I'll go over the top of guys that I really, really like, where, you know, Matt Hardy, I play off that, you know, I owe my career to Matt Hardy, and it's great, you know, and I was so proud of him to go out there, and he didn't have to. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to do everything that he did in that match, and it kind of was overshadowed, but I thought Mike Bennett just really stood out too. It's great. So, you know, that match, I love the opener with the six-man scramble, because, you know, that can be a very confusing and hard match, especially when you have six different guys in there. Six different styles. ACH really starting to show some fire under him. He was great.
My pick. What? ACH.
Did you write down like how many you got?
Well, you know what's funny? Because a few pay per views ago for WWF, you were tweeting me when anytime you got one right, you were bragging, and so me tweeting you that ACH won was probably the highlight of my night picks-wise, because I think I went on like a four-game losing streak from there until I got Kevin Steen right, and then I got the Red Dragon thing. While I picked Red Dragon to win, I didn't think they'd win in the fashion that they did. I thought there would be some sort of schmoz or, you know, DQ or something of that sort, but they actually ended up getting the pinfall victory, which I was very surprised about. I wanted to ask you about that. And I didn't get Cole or Elgin right, so I think I might have only got two out of the seven matches correct. Although that first one was kind of a hard one to pick, because you had a 1-in-6 chance on that one.
Oh, I never had Caprice Coleman winning. But, you know, I thought the show went away. I haven't watched it, you know, since, so I don't know how it looks on the pay-per-view and stuff like that, but... I loved it. I thought the atmosphere in Nashville was great. The boys really worked hard. It was a lot of fun. Afterwards, I went out to eat with Kerry Silkin and a few of the guys. It just a lot of fun. A good, you know, thing for morale, even though, you know, I what was it? Maybe Comcast decided not to carry the pay-per-view.
Weird.
So, you know, that kind of sucked, but it's just, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, I guess it's going to be growing pains and definitely crawling before we can walk, but I was really happy, and everybody worked their ass off like they always did, so it, real, real good.
Well, it's funny, shortly after the event was over, I always make fun of him, but he really did put over the product the other day. Jim Ross just kind of threw out a tweet. How did that ROH pay-per-view go? I don't think he saw it. And you know, Jim Ross has a ton of followers, and a lot of people were responding And I was, you know, I mean, it was like 1 a.m. and I had no life, but whatever. I actually went and tried to read some of the responses, and a vast majority, if not 9 out of 10, if not even 9.5 out of 10, were all very positive. You know, you had a couple smart alecks out there that were talking, that you know, were probably trying to kiss Jim Ross's ass talking about lights and stuff, but I don't see how you could have made any type of criticism. A lot of people were very up on the product. They were high on you and Kevin. Because I think you and Kevin, and even to a less to a certain extent, Nigel, you provide so much of a different sound to what we're used to hearing on the other bigger name promotions. That I think a lot of people are kind of surprised. Maybe they don't watch regularly or weekly or get online enough. And when they heard you guys on this pay-per-view, I mean, it really did bring a lot of legitimacy. And that's not just because I'm, you know, the co-host of your podcast.
Yeah, well, you know what, and you'll get your guys that'll be like, oh, I hated your commentary. That, but, you know, I think I had 6 when we did War of the Worlds, and now we have, you know, 3, you know, so that was great. So, you know, and it was, all of them were always spelled wrong, so it was great. You know, I was actually very happy with the commentary. I really liked, and you know, not to put over everything, is I really liked that the 3-man team. I thought it went really well, and I do believe that Nigel really comes out of his shell when he's together with me and Kevin.
Oh, for sure. Yes, for sure. And there were some, my mom, for instance, because once she saw the yellow jacket, she became a big fan.
She must love it.
She goes, "You work with him?" No, but she even said, she's like, "You know, that Nigel guy's really nice and all, but I really wish I could hear more Steve." And I go, "Well, you know, I mean, that's part of their thing. They, you know, he has to get his in too, but you almost need Nigel, because when you look at this card, you know, the 6-man mayhem. Then you have the television title. You have that crazy submission match, which, again, you told me. You said, you know, Cedric Alexander, you know, this guy. And I'm like, I like him a lot. I just don't see him winning. And I got that one wrong. But that was a good match. Then you have the Briscoes, and then Kevin Steen and Silas Young. I mean, it just kept building and building and building. By the time you get to that 5th or 6th match, as a viewer, you're exhausted, you know?
Well, I was super exhausted, because usually when we take TV or a house show, there's that little bit of intermission where I can run back, you know, pee, get something to drink, blah, blah, blah. But this time we went straight through, and I was like, oh, man, this is pretty crazy. So, yeah, I would say it's funny, because Kerry told me at dinner later, he goes, yeah, right around the semi-main, you started to look a little tired. I go, oh, I was feeling it. You know, I was starting to blow up a little bit, but man, it was great. And you know, I don't know what the buy rate's going to be. I don't know what the plan is going to be, but definitely, definitely, definitely want to see, you know, us keep going in that direction. I think it was a big step forward, and especially when it could have went totally wrong. And we've seen that with the pay-per-views over the last few years. There's so many different things that it could have done. So hats off to Hunter and Joe Koff and Sinclair Broadcasting and everybody that worked their ass off it for Best of the World. Now, this Sunday, we were talking also about the best, or not the Best of the World, but the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. And I need to know, who do you have winning this, man?
Wow. I mean, you have the 2 ladder matches, and there's a lot of possibilities here. You already have people talking about, well, the winner of the contract could cash in that night, which has happened before. You saw this a few years ago with Kane winning an early match for the contract and then coming out and basically killing Rey Mysterio. That was a few years back, so they haven't tried it.
I was going to ask if that's ever happened before.
Yeah, I think to put over the concept, the very first, one of the first Money in the Bank pay-per-views, they had the SmackDown contract was like the lead-off match of the night, and then Kane ended up winning that. Then later on in the show, you had Rey Mysterio defending the title, I think against Jack Swagger, just to give you an idea as to how long ago this was when Jack Swagger was in the title picture. But Rey wins the match and is celebrating, and then all of a sudden, you know, the fire comes from the turnbuckles, and all of a sudden Kane comes down and squashes him in like 3 seconds. So it has happened before, and there's a lot of talk, particularly on the internet, that potentially that role could go to Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins wins the briefcase and then comes out and takes out Cena. So instead of having the storybook Boston guy winning the title and going off into the sunset, maybe he gets screwed by the Money in the Bank contract winner, who's also in the back pocket of Triple H.
Ooh, yeah, you know, this is a tough one. There's a couple ways they could go, but man, I don't know. I'm thinking Seth Rollins is going to be at the top by the end of the night. Somehow, some way, they got to keep Roman Reigns from that title right away. I don't think you can give it to him right away, because that could be a WrestleMania moment, because he's definitely a big star. Sorry for my burping. I'm chugging down some Mickey U's on vacation. but this is going to be something that you really can't, you know, say, oh, well, that's going to be an obvious thing that's going to happen there, or this is going to be an obvious result here. This is going to be something that, you know, happens, and everybody's going to be shocked, whether it be Cena wins or Cesaro wins. It's definitely going to be shocked, because there's so many different ways that they can go. Man, I'm jealous that you're going to be there live. Are you going to have a sign that says hashtag Steve Carino Show, hire Steve Carino?
Oh, I probably should. I'm hoping that my pro wrestling tees order arrives before this Sunday, because I was at least going to rock some sort of Carino-inspired wear that night. You know, maybe we'll have flyers.
Yeah.
You know,
big banner on a bed sheet that you run through.
Yeah, like from a few years back. You know, Hulkamania will live forever, and then maybe Hulk will grab it and show it off in the center of the ring.
Oh, that'll be great.
You want to hear my dream scenario for this?
I do. I definitely do.
All right. So Cena wins. I've been to an event in Boston where Cena had a false finish, and it looked like he was going to win, and the crowd went, you know, despite everybody trying to boo and trying to act cool, we'll cheer John Cena in Boston. That's just the way it is. We'll boo at first.
Exactly. That's what makes me think that Cena's got, you know, he'll be at the end.
Well, we boo at first, but then we'll go ahead and cheer him when he wins. And then, of course, the false finish took place. And then, you know, oh, we're back to booing again. But anyway, my dream scenario is somebody like Cena wins the title, grabs the belt, and is like, you know, going about his thing, you know, showing up the three fingers and holding up both belts in the air. And then all of a sudden, out comes Bad News Barrett. And he proclaims that he has some bad news. And he holds up the briefcase that he had won earlier in the night. And then he, you know, rocks Cena with that elbow and wins it. And then just ends completely on a down note. I mean, why do you even have a character who gives you bad news if he's not going to win the contract and shock everybody and win the title?
So you're going with Bad News Barrett winning it all.
It's a dark horse. And I know he's the IC champion, and there's going to be, you know, what is he going to do with three belts and blah, blah, blah. Is he really that ready? But I just think it would be a fun scenario where, you know, you think the hero has won it, and then all of a sudden, I'm afraid I have some bad news. And then next thing you know, the title changes hands again.
Hey, man, I actually really love that. I absolutely love that. Whew. Oh, man.
I'm probably not the one who came up with that theory. I might have stolen that, but I'm not sure from where. But I just think it's awesome. I'll take credit for it.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
You want to know the rest of the card?
I do.
Okay.
I'll give my predictions like you gave predictions for last week's PWF show.
Okay. I think this was just added on Main Event on Tuesday. It's just a regular straight-up tag team match. It'll be Rybacksel taking on the team of Goldust and Stardust.
I think I loved Goldust and Stardust. I definitely think they got some mileage in them. I'm going with them.
Okay.
Go with the Rhodes boys.
Rhodes are up. Okay. Singles match for the Divas Championship. Paige defending the title against Naomi.
Ugh. You know how, excuse me, my old thought of a Van Wilder line. Naomi backwards is I moan. I'm not a big fan of Naomi on Total Divas, where I think, you know, Trinity is so much better. And, I'm definitely going with Paige up.
All right. Tag team titles on the line as the Usos face the Wyatt family.
Okay, man. The only thing I watched last night was Luke Harper against one of the Usos. And I've wrestled Luke Harper before he got signed, and I thought he was awesome. I thought he was really, really awesome. But, man, he's on fire, and he's about to break away. I don't know whether it's going to be – holy crap. Whether it's going to be – in a singles competition, something where he'll break up with Bray Wyatt or something, but he's going to definitely be a star. Love it. I'm going with them winning the titles.
Yeah, I agree. The Usos have had a nice run, but I think if Bray's not going to win the world title, it might be a nice consolation for the family, for the new Brothers of Destruction, I guess, to win the tag belts. Two more matches. It's only a 5-match card. Of course, the Money in the Bank matches will probably take up a lot of time, but for the...
Which makes me happy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And plus, half the roster is in those two matches. So, you know, in the, contract, Money in the Bank contract, briefcase, it's Bad News Barrett, Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, Jack Swagger, Kofi Kingston, Rob Van Dam, and Seth Rollins.
I'm going Seth Rollins. There's no way Seth Rollins loses yet. You know what I mean? I definitely think that Seth Rollins is so good. They just turn him. They got big things. They got big things planned.
Yeah, they're building him up so strong. And it's not beyond them to give a young guy. I mean, even if he holds the briefcase for a long time, I mean, they did it with Daniel Bryan. They did it with Dolph Ziggler. Like, even if he holds on to that thing for a while, eventually, you know, they're going to pull the trigger on him to, win the title, I think.
I totally agree with you.
All right. And finally, the main event for the vacant WWE World Heavyweight Championship. It's Alberto Del Rio, Bray Wyatt, Cesaro, John Cena, Kane, who was just added this week, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, and Sheamus.
Who? Definitely. Alberto Del Rio will not win this match. I can almost guarantee that.
Lock of the week. Lock of the week right there.
He's definitely lock of the week. You know, take that to Vegas and bet on that, because he is not doing it. It's Boston. I don't know. I see Cena winning and Rollins taking it right away, but this one's tough. I don't think Cesaro's there yet. I don't think Roman Reigns is there yet. Del Rio, once again, is the lock not to win it. Kane, no way. Orton and Cena are your best bets, and it's Boston. I think we're going to see Cena with Rollins, and then maybe SummerSlam you get a rematch with Rollins and Cena with Rollins backup still. I don't know.
That's tough.
That's a tough one. That's what makes this so good.
Because you got to look at it in the sense that none of these guys were really supposed to be the champion right now. Like, I'm thinking that they really wanted to have Daniel Bryan be the title holder until maybe SummerSlam at the earliest. And so, I mean, they've completely had to change this script around. So, it really could be anybody's game, in both matches, whether it be the contract winner cashes in right away or any of the eight guys in this main event. It really could go in any direction, I think.
And then, you know, sometimes that's the fun thing about professional wrestling is when you can't, you know, rely on your 6-month plan. You have to do something and think on the fly and come up with different things. But this is good. I think it's gonna be good for wrestling. It's gonna end up being really good for Daniel Bryan because he's gonna be once again on the chase, which I believe is so important when you know you have a champion. It's definitely the chase. But we're definitely gonna see. I'm going Cena though. I love Cena. Love John Cena. He's my Matt Hardy.
All right. I think I'm going to agree with you there. I think it might be. I mean, if you're going to have somebody kind of just hold the belt for a while, might as well be your franchise. And he's in his hometown to boot.
Even if it's 5 minutes.
That right. Is.
So, okay. Make sure you order. It'll be on every pay-per-view. Oh, that's right. They don't really. It'll be on some pay-per-view providers, but it'll be on the WWE Network. And if you don't get the WWE Network, you are a moron. It's $9.95 and that's all you can do. And you can find it at WWE Network on the app. But, Dan, I need to know where we can find the Steve Carino Show.
Well, you can find the Steve Carino Show in any of the following ways by visiting placetobenation.com and clicking on the Steve Carino Show banner or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. In addition, just by subscribing to the Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes, you will automatically receive the latest and greatest episodes of the Steve Carino Show. You can also visit Stitcher.com and subscribe to the Place to Be podcast or download the Place to Be Nation podcast app just like myself and Justin Rosero by hitting up placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad devices. Be sure to also follow us on Twitter. It's at Place to Be Nation and at Steve Carino Show. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/placetobenation. Finally, if you have questions for our final segment or a little love or suggestions for the show, email us at stevecarinoshow@placetobenation.com, stevecarinoshow@gmail.com, or tweet us at Steve Carino Show.
I like it. So good at that. Hey, when we come back, we're going to have Chuck Guillotine LeGrand on. You're going to want to listen to this. This is going to be a lot of fun. This is the Steve Carino Show.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week, placetobenation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
Let me know you in the house.
This is the King of Old School, Steve Carino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Carino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Carino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at placetobenation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show. I break down matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover.
Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pop. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
The Steve Carino Show, and as I told you in the first segment, we have a special guest this week,
and I didn't mean to break up your intro. Wait, this is a big moment. Go ahead, Steve.
Because I knew he was going to cut me off, and he always thinks I'm full of shit, so that's why I figured I would put him over.
I have a feeling I'm talking into this microphone that no one at all is listening, recording. I think this is all a big joke. Go ahead. I'll play along.
And it's just my way of talking to you.
This is just you getting me on the phone.
Well, he's the longest reigning PWF television champion of all time, former PWF tag team champion with Jack Victory. Hmm. And he's my buddy, man. He's been everywhere with me. What?
Nothing. Go ahead.
I'm not allowed to say my buddy. But we've been to Japan together plenty of times, in Puerto Rico, and he's babysat me, and
You babysat me.
That's true. And just had a crazy world. It's my man, Guillotine Legrand. Thanks for joining us, Chuck.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm so excited to have you.
Now tell everyone who I am.
I did in the first segment. Oh, I have to tell everybody this text that you sent me yesterday.
Oh, what did I send?
Laugh. And I don't know if you did it on purpose, but it just popped me because it's something you would say. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, promoting the show and everything like this, and you write, I looked on your Facebook, you still haven't hit my podcast.
That's right.
You're talking about Matt Hardy.
Yeah, why am I still hearing about Matt Hardy a week ago? He's still Twittering.
I know. He's amazing, right?
He's all right. I like Matt.
Yeah, me too.
Matt, and I listened to your interview with Matt on your podcast last week. And I was very disappointed my name did not come up because... When did it come up?
It came up in the last segment.
With Matt Harvey? Hardy?
Matt Harvey.
He, do you remember a few years ago he put me on his blog? He put like a YouTube clip of the two of us on his blog. It was like the most YouTube hits I ever got. And I've never got a chance to thank him for that.
He's a good dude.
He is a good guy.
Now, before we get into any story, my wife came in here, and Chuck, I don't know if I told you, I'm on vacation up in the Outer Banks.
She's not asleep yet?
Not yet.
It's
but
way past her bedtime.
It is, right?
That's a young girl.
she just goes, I work till 10 o'clock. Yeah. So I tell everybody a long story. My wife and I were watching like a pay-per-view or something. Or no, we went out after Colby's graduation, and we had a couple drinks, and we're having fun and stuff like that. And I'm telling, you know, LeGrand stories, and she's like, oh, I don't want to meet him. And I go, yeah, the only thing you can't do is bring up the black glove. Yeah, like...
Steve's black glove.
Yeah, well, and for everybody out there, in Puerto Rico, they asked me what my finisher was, and for some reason, I came up with this idea that I was going to put the black glove on and just punch people with it, and that was going to get them. That was going to get them out. And every booking meeting that we would sit in, like, well, Carlos would be like, "What's the finish for this match?" I'm like, "Black glove," and Chuck would be like, "Shut the fuck up."
Yeah, I hated the black glove. Everyone in the room hated the black glove. No one liked the black glove, but Steve. And then when he finally does get his hands on, he's all excited. Chuck, I got the black glove. He pulls out this glove that's, A, not black.
It was blue.
There wasn't a black on it. It looked like something like, you might, if you lost a pair of gloves and then like went back to the place you lost them like 6 months later and was like, did you find a pair of gloves here? Like there would be one knotty, ratty looking glove in the bottom of a box or like a shoe here, a hat here, a scarf here. And you would look at this crappy glove and decide, ah, you know what? I'll just buy another pair.
He didn't tell me that part of the story.
I was so
the most ridiculous thing. Also, the fact that we're in Puerto Rico. It's as hot as it gets for gringos like us. It was like a ski glove. Am I right, Steve? Wasn't it like it was like a ski glove? You just cut. It looked like what a hobo would wear. Basically, it was like your finisher was a hobo glove.
And I would take the glove off.
But it totally worked. It totally fit you, and you were fantastic in Puerto Rico. Really, it was one of the most magnificent runs ever.
Right. And I also had these wool trunks.
How bad they were, smell.
Are these the striped ones? Those?
Yes.
Oh, these are fantastic.
And they were yellow and purple stripes.
Yellow and purple stripes. Now, imagine the stripes. They're vertical stripes. They had to be 2 inches thick.
Yeah, they were
the stripe. Like there was nothing like you're imagining. Oh, probably not so bad. No, they were really bad.
Yeah, they were hot, and like I was so proud of these.
So I'm in the ring the first night Steve debuts these atrocity trunks, and Thunder is in the ring. Right? It was Thunder and Lightning, and Thunder did the talking, right? And we're both watching Steve on the way to the ring, and I look at Thunder, I go, what do you think of those trunks? And Thunder goes, he looks like a cowboy! And I'm thinking, what fucking cowboy if he wore purple and yellow? It must be lost in translation somehow, but to him, Steve looked like a cowboy in his trunk.
So
And the rest of the match pretty much followed suit.
It did.
You did look like a cowboy by the end. To everyone.
And that was like the fun stuff that we would do in Puerto Rico. Yeah, the black glove and those things, and put your fucking belt on and be a champion.
Yeah, Steve and I, there was for a good portion of that, you and I were roommates also.
Absolutely. While Ricky Reyes had three of the worst roommates of all time.
Yeah, I had one of those roommates. No, you and I were roommates, and you were a good roommate, Steve.
I was. We had pasta Wednesday nights.
We ate something every night.
Well, we did something every night.
Actually, some of the greatest nights being Steve's roommates were the nights Steve wasn't even there. I remember, I think we took pictures. Idol remembers this because we talked about it for days after. The fans always, everywhere you go, Steve, the fans just go crazy for you. And you always have a special connection with your fans. And Puerto Rico was no different. And this one particular, I'm going to screw up. Your birthday's in March, right?
May.
Exactly. It was Steve's birthday, and you were away. You weren't on the island, but I was there, and I know you remember this. So a fan brought a birthday cake to the building for Steve.
I do remember.
Yeah, this is true. Steve, you weren't there, but you were probably in Japan or somewhere back on the mainland, but you weren't there, and this fan knew it was your birthday. It's the 29th, right? May 29th?
Yep.
Okay. So, brings the cake, and all of a sudden, one of the security guys comes in the back, and he's like, Mr. Mack, this fan has a birthday cake for Steve. Do you want to talk to her? It was a female fan. And I'm like, all right, sure. So I go and talk to her, and she's very nice, and I told her I was very sorry that you weren't there, and she said, well, you know, I brought this cake, so, you know, she gave me the cake, basically, and what a party we had back in mine and Steve's room. With these rooms are not big, our apartment was wall to wall with Puerto Ricans and me and Idle Stevens and Ricky Reyes, and we just devoured this cake pretty much all this one night. Took pictures of it in its various stages. And then it had blue icing, and this is the part that I always remember. It had blue icing, like piping all around it, and happy birthday, whatever she wrote on there. And it was Idle Stevens. Oh, Damian Sandow now. He comes knocking on the door the next day or sometime after that. Hey, man, I took a crap before. And I'm like, all right, where is this going? He's like, my crap is bright blue, he tells me. He's like, no, it's like it frightened me. It's bright blue. And then I did the same thing, and we realized there was no icing on Steve's birthday cake. So even though you weren't there, you shared your birthday with us. So it was very nice.
Thank you for crap and blue in my honor.
We're going to talk about me?
Well, I was just about to say, Chuck, how did you get started in professional wrestling?
Oh, why would you ask me that? I just said to someone, I said, Steve better not ask me any bullshit questions. Like, how did
I get
started?
I have a point to it.
How did I get started? It's a good question. There was I had no knowledge at all that there was even a thing, there was a such thing as independent wrestling. And until about a month before I turned pro.
No, I was going to say that's just something that, you know, we're just about the same age. And yeah, that was something that I didn't know anything really about independent wrestling until maybe a year before I started training. Like, I'm like, wait, what the hell is this? Like,
I wish I had that year. It was just a different way of going about things. I got started with really very, very little training. I mean, my first bump in a ring was a match, you know, like my first actual crazy how that happened, thinking about it now. But, I didn't know anything about an independent wrestling scene. I didn't really have a cable growing up. I knew, you know, WWF from watching it on TV where I grew up here in New York, and,
Did you go to a lot of live shows as a kid?
I used to go to a lot of the Nassau Coliseum shows from the age of like 12 to like, geez, probably like 15, 16. I was there pretty regular. I was a big fan. I was hooked for sure. Nice. So then there was like an independent, there's an ad for a show on Long Island, and some like former WWF guys and some guys I didn't know. And that just put the bug in my brain that I was going to get involved. And I started making calls and got someone to meet with me and, went through the usual. I'm sure I know you have similar stories of, buddy, we'll train you. You know, come on down on such and such a night and get in the ring. And you get down there and these guys pound on you for about an hour and then tell you, hey, if you want to come back next week, you know, you got to bring, I don't know what they asked, how much money they tried to get out of me to come back and train with them, but that wasn't happening. But that it was through that I fell in with the bunch of guys that really helped break me in, you know, like Mikey Whipwreck and his guys, those guys, Mikey and Paul Lauria, those are the guys who really gave me that first push into the ring and got me started, yeah.
Yeah, and you weren't in long before you hooked up with the – it was UCW at the time, right?
It's within a month of me first getting the idea that I was going to do something. I just worked out a little with Paul Lauria, and he had hooked up with UCW, and he was like he was training a few guys. I was one of them, but I wasn't really like a regular student of his. I'd come in like once a week and try and learn what I could. And one day he's like, hey, you know, there's a spot there for you. And I didn't think I was ready, but he was pretty sure I was ready enough. And that was it. And that became, again, talking about just being very lucky as far as being able to just train as you go, which isn't normally the way I went from there. I mean, they were running regular. I was working, at least four times a month.
And that, that's the thing for people that didn't know UCW, you know, in the mid 90s was a big deal in New York, and you know they were bringing in Jim Neidhart, Bruce Hart.
Bruce Hart was booking basically. Bruce Hart had the book. Jim Neidhart was there. Chris Chavis. You had another bunch of guys coming in and out here and there. I mean, a big deal in some sense. It didn't get very far, but it got me to whatever was going to be next, I guess. It was good starting ground for me, absolutely. I learned a lot, for sure.
Now, the first time I meet you is, I'm pretty new to ECW, maybe 6 months in, and I want to say the first time I met you was in Connecticut. You might be, and you know, basically, you know, I saw you hanging out with Mikey Whipwreck and you know, shot up a little conversation with you. But like, I think the thing that gets over big with a lot of the guys that just knew you as Mikey's friend was the time that you know, and these are back in the day.
You were telling the story. A lot of people don't know how often I was in the back of those ECW shows.
Oh yeah, and it was one of those things. And you know, sometimes the back was very secure. You had to be somebody to be in the back, and that was me being like, this guy's got to be somebody because you know Paul saying hi to him, Dreamer's shooting the shit with him, and you know everybody's like, man, this guy. You know, I'm like, man, I better go introduce myself to this guy.
I remember you and CW both did at the same time. That's right. I don't remember where we were. It was either Connecticut or we were like maybe Worcester, Mass. Too. I mean, one of those. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
And yeah, that was the thing. We popping open a Mickey U on vacation, and so you know. But one of the funny stories is that back in the day, you had to get like the physicals from the New York State Athletic Commission and get everything for your license. And, you know, guys would line up with their shit and stuff like that. And
yes.
And Dreamer looks at
you. I needed a physical to get a New York license. So I see, you know, everyone's lining up. There's a doctor there and forms are being handed out. So, I got in line. I was and I got my physical. ECW paid for my physical so I could get my New York license. So thank you.
So, you know, it goes probably a year. And then Mikey had called me to come up and work a HWA show in New York. And, man, I wish people could see online. I don't even know if there's stuff online. But
no, I don't think so. Yeah, that's pretty rare stuff. Those are great shows, though.
Oh my goodness! This HWA arena is basically a smaller, like more compact ECW arena, and by that I mean these fans are like rabid. Booking was great. There were so many things, and I don't know if you remember this conversation, Chuck, but I walk in and I see you, and I go, Chuck, how you doing? Yeah. And I noticed that you're putting on wrestling boots now in the. Maybe 4 or 5 times that I'd been around you and talked with you and, you know, striking up a conversation. At no time have you told me that you're a professional wrestler. So I go, Chuck.
How does that come up in the conversation? You know,
I don't know. Right? Like, I go, Chuck, what are you doing? You go, get ready for my match. I go, you're a wrestler? I go, you never told me you're a wrestler. You go, nah, I'm not a very good one. And to me, like, that was the greatest thing ever because that was a time when everybody said that they were a wrestler, you know, because it was the Attitude Era. You had WWE, WCW, ECW, and everybody was a wrestler. You were just so humble. You were just like, hey, I'm fucking Chuck LeGrand. That's who I am. And it just popped me in. Like, I couldn't wait to, like, watch your match. And you blew me away, you know, from the second you walked in the ring and you had first coming out to the Godzilla theme and then you get in the ring and you had the crowd in the palm of your hand the second you grabbed the microphone.
And, Very nice of you.
You know, and you hate when I bring this up, but you did this thing and I always wanted you to redo it. And I, you know, I
yes,
So you start tapping on the microphone, like how an indie guy taps on it a couple times to make sure it's on. You start tapping and then tapping and then tapping more. And as the more you did it, the people just got hotter and hotter and more angry. And you're looking at them with this face like, why are you booing me? Like, is this thing on? I lost it. I said, oh, my God. You know, if I ever run a show, this guy has to
be. You told me that. I remember I don't know if it was that same night or shortly after. I think it was that night, though. You had just gotten the book from, I forget the man's name, a nice man who ran IWA.
Terry Frankowiak,
yeah. Yeah, I like Terry. And I remember you came, I came in the back and you said, so look, I'm booking this group in Pennsylvania and I want to book you for this group. I want you to come to Pennsylvania. I said something like, all right, like, what's the date? Like, what show? And you're like, every show.
Every
you're like,
show.
You're like, you're booked on every show. And really, there was a run there probably more than a year where, Steve, I think you did book me on like every show. You were involved.
Oh, every show. You know, because when we originated the PWF, you know, we did the thing for the Battle Royal for the TV title. And then you would spend the next like 6 months defending the TV title and every finish was screwy.
I don't think I ever pinned anyone, or I don't remember the details of the run, but yeah, it was like the most least glamorous run.
Oh, no, it was great. And one of my favorite things about this reign is you go, I want to say, like, okay, thank you. My wife just gave me a mixed drink. And it's from my brother-in-law, Dan, so cheers to my homies. Cheers. Yeah, you're in this reign maybe 8 months, and we do the Legacy Cup tournament for the first time, and it's you and Johnny Cashmere. From the
I love that match.
Well, what kind of finish can we do? And you come with... And this is where I really started seeing, like, the mind of Guillotine Legrand. You know, you would always throw like a creative finish out there for us. And then this one was probably my favorite at the time, is you come up with Nikolai Dynamite.
Yeah, from the wrestling classic. Well, you have to understand too. I knew that it was a tournament. So I was like, what's the quickest way to get in and out of this ring?
Oh,
so yeah, let him drop kick me from behind and pin me.
But you do your promo. He comes in, drop kicks you, bell rings, 1, 2, 3. He celebrates. He gets the hell out of here. As soon as he gets out of the ring, you get up and the boos start again. I said, oh my God, he's more over by losing.
No, we did the gimmick that night. He beat me and he was over. I mean, the both of those guys were way over there. He beat me, and we took out his leg. That was the thing. We put him.
Oh, that's
the,
right. That's
we
right.
Put him in, yeah, we, I put him into the finals. Well, he went into the finals with like the leg injury against Daniels.
That's right. That's right. I couldn't remember that. Yeah, with Daniels. Yeah. Oh, that was great time. And so I'm gonna fast forward a little bit. Like you were always my go-to guy, and then in 2000. It was, I want to say, when was the first time you went to Japan? 2002 or 2003?
Whatever the first USA show was, right? That was my first. Was that my first one?
2003. But this is how you got over with Nakamura. Was when he had come to the States, you had gotten over with him pretty quick. Correct?
I wasn't sure. I made fast friends with Otani. I knew that.
And Tanaka,
yes. But Otani and I hit it off right away. I mean, those were all good guys. I enjoyed when they came.
So this is my favorite thing is Nakamura and Hashimoto come up with this thing. They say, Kurino-san, we have idea. We want a heel referee. Do you have heel referee? I go, I do.
This is a great story.
Like, yeah, and you were the one guy, you know, and you know at this time, this is the time where, you know, we're running. I'm there every 2 weeks and 2 weeks home, and everybody and their mother are asking me to go to Japan. You never had asked me, like, hey, man, can you throw a word in? You know? You were always just, yeah, you know, you were my buddy. You weren't the guy asking me for bookings and shit like that.
Not like now.
Huh?
Not like now.
Yeah. We'll get into how you can book shows.
How the times have changed.
Don't worry. I'm trying to get Hardy's, you know, his throwaways. So,
no, but this is I've told this story myself. Yeah.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, I wanted to lead in for you to tell it.
No, well, you know, it's just as you said. They come to you with this idea about a heel referee, and ask you if you. I guess they asked if you know a referee. Is that how it went? They asked you if you.
No, because at the time, Marty Elias, who worked for WWE, had come over for one tour. Keener had come over for maybe one or two tours as straight American referees.
Right. Yeah,
they had Mr. Fred do kind of a goofy thing the year before, and it just wasn't working out. But they had in mind that they had this idea for like a whole angle of a heel referee.
Yes, and you recommended me, right?
Yeah, and now do you remember me calling you and asking like, "Hey, man, could you be a referee?"
Well, I do remember that, and I thought about it, and I decided I could. And but I, not knowing that you had already told Japan, like, oh yeah, Steve just completely was like, oh yeah, Chuck used to referee before he wrestled.
He all the time.
He was a referee all the time, and so he's telling me this. I remember the story the way I told it to CW. I was with CW and Lodi, and Charles Robinson came out one night. And I'm talking with Charles Robinson, and CW's got some DVDs from Japan we're watching. And I walk in, and they just finished watching something I had done there. And Charles is like, wow, man. At this point, Charles was with WWE, but he hadn't been to Japan. And he said, wow, you know, I really like what you're doing there. I said, well, you know, thank you. You know, I'm not really a referee, but thanks. And he said, well, I think that's great. You know, he goes, I've always wanted a referee in Japan. I said, man, I've never refereed anywhere else but Japan. And he's like, really? I said, yeah, my first night, it was Corrigan Hall. There I was. I never had stripes on before in my life, and there I was.
Now, when were you thinking when I called you and said, hey, man, would you like to come over as a ref? Now, did you know, like, I had already told them everything, like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm literally... I have the travel agent's email already ready for your ticket.
I didn't know that. But it didn't take me long to realize I was going to go no matter what the spot was. I mean, you know me. I mean, opportunities come only every so often, and I really have always believed you really have to take them, and that was one I just really had to take, and I'll always have you to thank for that, and I was very lucky. That one tour turned into, I think it was 10 by the end, Steve.
And, oh, absolutely. Now, what's funny is that I wanted to bring up UCW for a reason. Is back in
the 80s,
this is how, like, you know, the world really evolves.
Like you said, I started with UCW. Excuse me. Green as can be. And, but Bruce Hart was there, and you know, Bruce Hart was Bruce was a big help. He was a help then, although I didn't know it, and then years later, still a help. He had said to me, you know, I was opening match every night, and it was me and the same guy every night. We were doing what we can just to get the show started, and he had a couple of different ideas for me, you know, and he would run them by me, and then one day he gives me this idea for a heel referee. Now, this is 1995 or 96 or so, and he's really trying to sell me on this heel referee. And he's telling me the whole, in Calgary, Stampede, it was, now I can't think of his name. I know the guy's name.
George.
No. Who was the guy who did it?
Oh, was it
Scott? Sandy Scott or George Scott?
Sandy Scott, that's right.
So he tells me this whole, and giving me all the nuances of what this guy did, and really, I mean, and was very plainly saying, like, look, this guy became the most, like, this guy had more heat than anyone in the company as a referee. And I just, you know, as just starting out, and you just, you know how it is when you're in the ring, you don't want to hear anyone tell you, oh, maybe you'll be a manager, you know, right. Maybe you should write, you know. So back then, I was like, I listened to it. I was respectful, but I wasn't about to become a referee and stop wrestling. And so it's however many years later, it's 5 or 6 years later, here comes that same referee spot. But and you know the story, but at the time I had no idea that this not only was Bruce such a big fan of this spot, but Mr. Hito was also there in Calgary when all this was going on, and knew this was great wrestling going on with this heel referee gimmick. And I'm sure very much in the ear of Hashimoto and very much behind Zero One's efforts to do the same thing.
And, exactly. And Hashimoto had worked in Stampede and trained there with Mr. Hito and stuff like that, and got to see all – he was there at this time. Right. And I think, you know, we've talked about this for years. Yeah. This is where the gimmick was really born out of this, you know, with Hashimoto. It was like, oh, I want to do this. And it didn't take very long once you debuted that he knew he had it.
Yes, CW knew before that. CW was hot the first week those magazines came out. And I was on in every magazine in full color, sometimes like full articles just on me. Boy,
oh, absolutely.
Was CW mad at the press I was getting. He listens to this, right?
Hey, man, of course you'd be in the magazine. You've been here five minutes.
From guys, you're 10 minutes in the magazine. But it's true.
And it led to, it gets to this point where, you know, we would work Hashimoto, and it would always be, especially house shows, it would be a variety of six-mans. It would be Hashimoto, maybe Fujiwara, and a younger guy against...
Choshu. I loved it when we would get Hashimoto, Choshu. We would get... Did we ever get Hashimoto, Choshu, and Fujiwara?
I
maybe. I don't know. They were all great.
I know we got a Quirk and Hall, Choshu, and Hashimoto.
Yeah.
And... You know, and then the heel side would be, there would be a big heel, and then usually me and CW.
That's right.
And
me.
With you as the referee.
That's right.
You know, in the beginning, Hashimoto would say, oh, okay, this spot, you attack me. I would say within two tours, he'd say, Mac, your choice, whenever.
Yeah, and he was very good to me. He even... Well, you know, there was stuff I did. He was always, I would always be there through you know, all parts of going over the match. But with me, he would just say, he would tell me just to do whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted.
and he loved it because he would just play off of it so well. And, you know, but it would just be funny. He'd say something to us and he'd go, Mac. When you want, you know, I'd be like, oh, cool, you know, and you guys would have such great interaction, and it was just so much fun to be in there, you and Fujiwara and Hashimoto, and you know, those were times when, like, I just sat there, I'm like, cool, man, I'm with my friends, we're in a foreign country, you know, we you know, just had, it was a blast, though, wasn't it?
Yes, a lot of fun, one of the best times of my life, for sure.
Yeah, you know what, mine too. And, you know, so we fast forward a couple years, and I somehow end up working a show for Carlos Colon in, I'd say, July of 08. And I just do an opening match.
You and Eugene, right?
When
Eugene? Did you go on and work Eugene?
I did, that's right. I went and I worked Eugene, and... You know, Carlos takes me aside and says, man, you know, would you like to come down for full time? And I go, yeah, but I got a buddy that, you know, needs to come with me because he's awesome and this and that. Oh, okay. So I don't know. How long was I down there before you came down? Very quickly, right?
You I came down. You were gone after that first week. Is that what you're getting at? Like how quickly I arrived?
I think and I
you
got there, and then I left real quick, and then you were down.
That first
right?
week, yeah. That first, I came in that first weekend, and we did like the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you left like Monday, and didn't come back for like a month.
That's right, and then. So here you are in Puerto Rico, and you're with Jeff Bradley, who's one of the best guys ever.
Great. Awesome.
And I always tell this story, Chuck, and it's something that like we can talk about on the air because at the time it was legal, so you know we weren't doing anything illegal. But I did
plenty of illegal things there. We can talk about all of them if you want.
Yeah, we did, you know. The Iranian tobacco flew. So there's this time, and I don't know, because I was away when you guys discovered
yeah,
this.
We bonded over some serious. I love Bradley. I mean, he's in Austria now, right? Is that right?
Yes, yeah. And he looks
fantastic.
Great.
Of course he does.
And so, like, you guys discovered this stuff, and I don't know how you discovered it.
He found it. He was like...
He Googled it, though, right?
I don't know. I'm going to do his voice now. He's like, hey, man. I can't even do it. Hey, man, you know this stuff called salvia? You ever hear of it? I'm like, no. Yeah, you smoke it, man. It's like he's describing it to me, and I'm like, all right, where do we get it? You know, I'll smoke it. And he's like, and it's over the – it was like over the counter. Like,
over the counter,
like,
yeah.
Like the smoke. He's like – it's like sage, basically. Everyone knows what it is now, I guess. I had no idea what this stuff was. So,
hey Dan, did you know what salvia was?
No.
No.
Thanks. We're keeping you awake, Dan. Are we recording? Is this on your show?
Yeah.
Podcast. So, that's fantastic.
So we get this thing, and I come.
Matt Hardy, and then this.
I come in that night, right? And you guys
everyone's still like, wait, who is this guy? He said, so they call him Mac. One minute he's Mac, then he's Chuck, then he's Guillotine Legrand. Who is this guy?
This week on the Steve Carino show, you have Guillotine Legrand, also known as Chuck, also known as Mac. And we'll refer to him in a couple different ways. But,
so Bradley and I, we experiment with the salvia, and we decide, well, when Steve comes back, we'll have to let him sample this. And so what a mistake that was.
It was the biggest mistake of my life. So we come back, and I want to say, wasn't it like the day before Halloween?
It was there was something creepy about the day. Well, it may have been, exactly, yeah, because, yeah, I don't know why that, looking back, it's silly that Halloween was relevant to what happened.
Yeah, I know why it was relevant, but...
Well, you thought you were going to die. You believed this would be your last night on Earth.
Well, I came back from Japan... And you call me and you're like, there's problems. Your room's not ready. I'm like, wait, why isn't my room ready?
I forgot this part. You've been dying to tell this story out loud. Go ahead. Yeah, let's let everyone hear what I – go ahead. This is great.
So I get in the car and I don't know what I was doing, but Carlos calls you.
Carlos Colon. Now, all right, everyone take this – back up a second. Let's really. I'm right. You still don't know who I am if you're listening to this, right? I'm Chuck. I'm Guillotine Legrand. I'm this indie guy from New York, Pennsylvania, whatever. Couple shots in Japan. Nobody saw. Carl's Clone has no idea who I am except for Steve Carino recommended him, and you did. You told him like I get more heat than you. I remember you telling him that.
But
he
said, that
I
is
got
true.
This guy. He gets more heat than me. You got to bring him in. So
yep.
Meanwhile, Carlos Colon, I'm in awe of this man.
You loved Carlos.
I still love Carlos. But when I first got to the island, right, I was such a different person. I was completely like taken aback by what was going on. You know, sitting in meetings with Carlos, I didn't even know like if I should speak. Very, very, very almost intimidated by this man. Fast forward to this month, Steve is gone. He comes back from Japan. Somehow it fell on me, like a lot of things seem to fall on me. Somehow it fell on me to get Steve's room key. Like that was, I guess, the word got to me that day, hey, Steve is coming in. Go to the office and pick up the key to his room so he has the key to his room when he comes back, right? That's what I remember. And then I don't know what happened, but I didn't do it. I didn't do it. And... Then we're on our way to the show, and Carlos is calling me. Carlos is calling my cell phone. It's the first time Carlos Colon is calling me. Like,
on a, he doesn't
on,
do that. On, he doesn't
on a phone somewhere sits Carlos Colon. It's ringing, and he's waiting for Chuck Legrand. He's waiting for Mr. Mack. And Steve, what did I do?
You're like, listen up, Carlos Colon.
No. First, I didn't answer.
That's where you put him to voicemail.
Yeah, first I didn't answer, and then he called again. And then I realized I have to answer, right? I have to be a man. So I answer, and he's like, Mac, you were supposed to pick up Steve's key. Just like that. And I go, Carlos, what can I tell you? I fucked up, all right? I fucked up. And I'm like being a dick to Carlos Colon. I'm like, all right, I fucked up. I don't know what to tell you, all right? We'll figure it out.
And we did, so I got a key, and it ends up being the room that Eddie Gilbert died in.
That's right. That was the creepy thing.
So we go down to you and Bradley's room at the time, and...
It was Bradley's room. I was living with Charles the Hammer Evans.
That's right. And then we were going to get together. So, yeah, we go to Bradley's room, and here comes this... Salvia, and I am, you know, I've just gotten off the
Steve, in the words of the late Macho Man, was definitely in the danger zone.
So, like, Bradley goes, oh, you take it, you hold it, and then you just relax. And we would do it because it was supposed to be like a 3 minute. Like high or whatever.
It's I want to say like a 5-6 minute, like, and you would get like some visuals, like kind of like you were tripping. You'd get, yeah, it was, you know, I guess you didn't know what you get. I mean, I had a couple of touch and go moments, just me and Bradley smoking this stuff.
And that was the thing, like, you wouldn't smoke it all together. One guy would smoke and the other two would watch him.
Yeah, so, I don't think it would be a good idea for too many people on that at the same time.
Yeah, you couldn't, because, like, Bradley's a big dude, and he all of a sudden is, like, walking towards the door.
Yeah, he
got shorts
up.
On.
I mean, you really do.
He was a detective.
It puts you out of your mind, yeah. He said something. He grabbed his keys real quick and bolted for the door, and he's like, I got to do some detective work. and I'm like, and I'm thinking, he's... just gonna go walk into the pool and die. So yeah. I stopped him, and that was scary. There's no one in that room. Oh no. Now that happened a couple of times. There's one time there was other people in the room, everyone watching me try and muscle Jeff, bad boy Bradley, away from the door.
Oh yeah.
But Steve smoking this stuff was just like nothing I've ever seen.
So I smoke up like a fiend. Like I don't know why I go. I take it and I'm like, oh, and I lean back on the wall of one of the beds, and all of a sudden I was dead. Like, yeah, my mind.
You definitely went someplace else. And it was, yeah, you were there for a while.
it was hard to watch. Because this thing played with my mind so much that it would tell me that, you know, you're dead.
I remember you and Bradley having this discussion. I really couldn't jump on board, but you and Bradley believed that the drug itself was telling you not to talk about the drug.
Yes, I couldn't talk about it. We were at Denny's, and I couldn't.
As far as I got, you guys trying to articulate what the hell that meant to me.
It felt like an hour before, like, all of a sudden, like, you know, like, it seemed like Chuck was so far away, and I'm like, I felt like I was reaching out to grab him. And right, and I, like, as soon as he kept getting closer, I kept like trying to hug him.
He did, and, yeah. You hugged me.
Yeah, so like I was freaked out for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it was like a scared child coming off a roller coaster kind of hug.
Oh, and like I just couldn't stop. I couldn't stop hugging Chuck's arm. And so the next morning, I get up, and I'm still kind of upset about the whole situation. And Bradley goes, Chuck, should we show Mac? Should we show him? I go, show me what? And you guys fucking videotaped.
Well, Bradley did, yeah. He erased that, though. I remember I didn't want him to.
That was so cool.
No, he doesn't want people to see that. And he was right. You don't. I'm still embarrassed for you, but I'll get over it.
Oh, man.
No, yeah, you smoked that like it was a Marlboro. It was really ridiculous.
It was bad. Don't do it, kids.
Yeah, stay away from drugs, kids.
Well, please do, man.
You'll end up on the Steve Carino podcast.
Hey, Chuck, before I let you go for this episode, we definitely got to have you back. This is the longest interview that we've done.
Sorry.
And so I definitely need you back in a couple weeks to go over some
Let's see how the numbers are.
But I want to talk about this real quick. And it was the feud that you had with Chicky Starr in Puerto Rico that was another thing that made me just so proud of you.
It's my proudest. It's absolutely my favorite thing that I've done was.
And sometimes I just don't think that, you know, I know sometimes you don't believe that you get the credit that you deserve. And, you know, and a lot of your peers don't feel that way. A lot of your peers feel that, like, you know, you're good, man.
They think I get too much credit.
No, but this you know, this feud with Chicky Starr happens, and you know Chicky is such a legend in Puerto Rico, and it goes to finally. I mean, you guys are having these awesome, and it was a real feud.
I mean, we
good.
Yeah, we went all over. We did. I mean, well, I don't know what match you're about to get to, but we did every kind of match there was.
Oh, I'm going to the hair versus hair. But yeah, was the thing. You guys were doing so many matches that like it felt like the heydays of Puerto Rico. Like back, you know, we're talking mid '80s when Chicky was the heel and he would feud with the babyface this way. But now it's 20 years later, and it's flipped. You know, Chicky's the legend, and he's the babyface, and you're the new Chicky. And you guys just had these great battles that, you know, no matter what the crowd was, size was, whether it was 50 people, 500, or 1,200, these people were taken back to those days of the glory days of, you know, when WWC was so hot. And it leads to this hair versus hair match that I was so proud of. And how did Carlo sell the hair versus hair match to you?
Well, he said very little about it, which shouldn't be a surprise. I think anyone who ever worked with Carlos knows exactly what I mean. He's like, so we're going to do this, you know, do this thing, you know, hair versus hair.
Yeah, we're going to do this thing. Barbed wire. Right.
You know, this the same way he would tell you when he wants color. It was very much the same. Like, you know, just kind of night of, maybe like... two or three minutes before your match. All right, you're going to get caught, right? So it was kind of like that. But you remember that night. Carlos was the easy part. For some reason, Chicky and I were like match three that night. And yes. He didn't get there to like the middle of match two.
Yeah, it was a great house.
Excuse me. Yeah, Sabu was there. Not that... he was the reason, but he was part of the reason.
it was a bigger show.
Yeah. Yeah, and... what's that?
It sounded like a car in the background.
Yeah, I gotta get going. No, I'm only kidding. I don't know what you're hearing. He walks in like the middle of match two, and we're about to go out there, and I mean, we said, like, very little to each other before we went out there. I think that was the match I told him. Is that when I worked his... did I work his hand that match?
Yes.
Yeah, I worked his right hand. For some reason, I had it in my head I was going to do that. Because I just didn't want him punching me anymore.
So at least you tell me the finish before, and we're preparing for it, and you know, you're talking about, I'll get my head shaved and stuff like that. So I'm sitting up there watching it with Sabu, and he knows the finish and stuff like that, but you guys screw everybody and do, like, this huge false finish that gets the restart, and everybody, like, explodes. Like I truly believe that if you guys didn't restart the match, there may have been a riot.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wanted it to look like I beat him, and they were going to see him. Well, that was the gimmick, too. I don't know how many hair matches Chicky's had over how many years. He's never won a hair match.
Yeah, exactly. That was the thing. He never won.
So, I mean, it had good build-up. It had history built into it that, you know, that I was able to use. And I think there were people – I think it was the right finish because I think there were people there who absolutely thought they were going to see Chikki again lose a hair match. So for a second, they thought they had that. It was fun. You know, you and I always talk. Yeah, I mean, the fans are great everywhere, and a lot of people at, you know, being lucky enough to go to Japan, you know, a place like Japan or a place like Puerto Rico, and, you know, I mean, the fans in Japan, there's nothing to really compare them to in certain ways, but, man, Puerto Rico was the time of my life, and I think just the greatest people up and down are just real grateful for that time, great time.
Awesome, man. Hey, I'd love to have you back in a couple weeks, and one of the reasons that we do these interviews actually a lot quicker. Like I actually had 20 minutes, and Dan can, he can confirm this. I had 20 minutes, 20, 25 minutes is usually our interviews. We're right at the 50 minute point.
Wow.
You're so interested. It's so interesting to talk to, and I want to get into more stories. So I definitely want to have you back in the next couple of weeks if you'd be willing.
We'll try for sure.
Okay, awesome, man. Yeah. Hey,
let's
Chuck,
see how this goes. I got to be trending.
No, yeah, exactly. Trend. Trend, hashtag Mac. And, you know, and that's the thing. Chuck, where can people find you if they want to book you?
They can't. Call Steve Carino. Get a hold of Steve.
Yeah. CarinoWrestling@gmail.com. I'll get you in touch with Chuck. You know, he's
look, for me, look for me in a few weeks when I'm back on this podcast.
Exactly. When he's back on the Steve Carino show, he's going to have contact information because the
no, I won't.
The resurgence of Itzy LeGrand in 2014 is about to happen.
Thanks, Steve.
Hey, Chuck, thanks for being on. Hey, when we come back, maybe no Q&A for this week, but we'll have a little Twitter love and some plugs. This is the Steve Carino show. How you gonna go? Shut down on the pavement. Or waiting in the pool. You can crush us. You can bruise us, but you'll have to answer soon.
Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com as well as the Brad and Chad Show, and I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast, Place to Be Nation's Main Event, hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week. It's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's Main Event.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, Giorgio Bellino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective. And we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, ProWrestlingOnly.com, Scott Keith blog at RSPWFAQ.net, and PileDriverWrestling.net.
king to a god. What's a god to
and
a
now, time for a little Twitter Q&A with the King of Old School and Dan, too, on the Steve Carino Show.
Hey, we're back on the Steve Carino Show. I want to thank Chuck Guillotine, Mac LeGrand. He's got so many names for the longer interview, his longest interview that we've done on the 10 weeks of the Steve Carino Show. So we're going to make it a very special episode again. Now, this week, because we went long with the interview, and I wanted to get that interview in because, man, I love Chuck. He's one of my best friends in the entire world, not just in wrestling, but just in life in general. Just a real awesome guy, and I really wanted everybody out there to get to see the Guillotine LeGrand that I know. We didn't even get to get into the ROH list. We didn't get to get into some of his babysitting stories in Puerto Rico, some of his experts out of the ring in Japan. So we're definitely going to have him back in the next couple of weeks because he's so damn entertaining. So this time, for this week, we're going to go with some Twitter love and then, you know, phase out of the show. But, hey, keep bringing your questions in at Steve Carino Show. We're going to get to them next week. Next week, we're going to have Tiger Jit Singh on, the legend, maybe even Tiger Jit Singh Jr., who wrestled in WWE as Tiger Ali Singh. We're going to get them on as I'll be up there for Canada Day and wrestling for Tiger Fest. So we're going to get them onto the show, and it'll be a fun interview. It won't be as long as LeGrand, but it'll be fun. So, hey, Dan, we're going to go through some Twitter love, and there was some good Twitter love this week. You know, and I'll start. It was at Smashville Matt. Thanks to at Steve Carino Show for answering my question this week. Download it. PlaceToBeNation.com. Rapidly becoming one of my favorites. It should have said hashtag suck it, Kevin Kelly.
I won't go there. At Christopher Bowl, B-O-L, number one, he goes, hashtag Steve Carino Show is awesome. Any wrestling fan should give it a listen.
And, you know, that's awesome of them to write. I love it. This one I liked because I got a few emails about it, and I should have shared them. This one's at The Honor Report. Have to admit that the Matt Hardy interview on the Steve Carino Show has made me like him again. You know, that was one of my ideas, is that Matt Hardy is such a great person. I wanted to bring him on because sometimes a lot of the internet fans like me, and they can't understand my love for Matt Hardy. And then when he came on the show last week, he really impressed a lot of people that may have had a misconception of Matt Hardy, of like maybe what they saw on TMZ or WWE or something they read on the internet. But hey, man, Honor Report, I'm glad that, you know, you're a fan of Matt Hardy again. You know, whether you're a fan of his wrestling or not, Matt Hardy's a good dude.
Yeah, and if you haven't had an opportunity to read the last Honor Report, there was actually a lot of good hype videos off of YouTube and a lot of a good commentary on the pay-per-view of Best in the World. So if you haven't yet seen Best in the World yet, you should. But before you do that, make sure you read the Honor Report only at PlaceToBeNation.com. More love. Nice. More love at Cool Jash. 1-1, and that's not a Boston accent. It's Cool J-A-S-H 1-1. At Steve Carino Show is amazing on commentary at Ring of Honor. Hashtag B-I-T-W 1-4. Of course, that means Best in the World, 14.
Hey, thank you very much. I felt really good. Besides dickhead BJ Whitmer knocking my headset off after the first match. Luckily, I was rubbing my eyes at the time. I didn't have my glasses on, or the asshole would owe me $300. But, yeah, thank you very much. I love to be a commentator, and if you don't get my humor, you're a bad person. It's like not liking John Cena. Ooh, a little more love for the commentary. At Mo _ we talk. At Steve Carino Show is really cracking me up tonight. Hashtag BITW. You know what? When I go in there, and I wish you would have saw my notes because I didn't have any. Like, I just go in and I do my thing, and, you know, when people – actually like it, I'm so thrilled because it's new. Like, you got to remember, I'm a young boy. You know, I'm a young boy when it comes to commentary. I'm just learning, and you know, Kevin Kelly. And make sure you listen to the Kevin Kelly Show. Kevin Kelly has really led me to some great things right now. My success is built off of Kevin Kelly being such a great guy to let me be me, and man, I owe him the world. So whenever anybody ever says that and you're listening, whenever you say that I'm doing an okay job on commentary, please make sure you throw some love to at Real Kevin Kelly, because he's the man. He's my sensei.
Now, I've heard somebody say that you guys are the Monsoon and Brain of this generation. So if that's true, does that make me the Jameson of this generation?
Maybe. And you know what? For guys like myself and Kevin Kelly, that's the greatest compliment that you can you can give us. Mm. You know, like I'm trying to equate it to tell somebody that they're Ric Flair, or tell somebody that they're Hulk Hogan, or The Rock, or, you know, or any of the great wrestlers that they, you know, are idolized. Gorilla and the Brain were a team. You know, there's been great announcers all over the history of professional wrestling, whether it be JR or Gordon Solie or Lance Russell. But when you talk about a team, there's very few teams that people talk about. But in the big one is Gorilla and the Brain. And for us to just be even, you know, talked about in just a comparison, and we're not there yet. I mean, you know, we're buddies outside the ring, and you know, I so much respect, because he's a great guy too. He's just a good man, but he's also a mentor to me, because he lets me, you know, lets me into his world. He's an announcer. I was a wrestler, and he's brought me in just how Gorilla brought Bobby into it. So, you know, it's the greatest compliment ever. So thank you very much.
At Eric E.L.'s one, or Eric Eels one, however you will, at King Carino, at Steve Carino Show, looking forward to hearing episode 10 right after I catch up on the last few episodes. Got to prioritize my podcast. To that, I would say put us first, then Kevin Kelly, then Place to Be Podcast, then Main Event, and then just go right down the list at placetobenation.com. That's really all you need.
Absolutely, and there's so many great podcasts on Place to Be Nation. You know, I love it, because sometimes, you know, I don't get a lot of time to listen to other podcasts, but I, you know, I love listening to the commercials when we talk about, during the commercials of the Steve Carino Show, I get to hear some of the plugs for the other shows, and I'm like, man, I gotta listen to Old School Wrestling. I gotta listen to Rob Naylor. I gotta listen to Kevin Kelly, because there's so many great shows on Place to Be Nation. Man, prioritize your podcast starting with us, you know, and then if you want to give it a little love to Cabana, Austin, and Jericho, that's cool, but give us some love, baby. And then finally, Jay Looking Bill, or JL Ooking Bill, I don't know, maybe a little late, but the interview with Matt Hardy on the Steve Carino Show was the best interview I've ever heard. Respect. Whoa, that was pretty cool. But, you know, I don't think it was the greatest interview of all time. But, you know what, we're going to have Matt Hardy on it again later. And I love it, man. He's just a lot of fun. And I'm glad you guys are enjoying the show.
All right, Steve, one more, and I'm going to put on the announcer voice for this one. And good, now, oops, excuse, oh, there we go. Timeout, take two. We'll fix that in editing. All right, maybe we should put music to this, Steve. You think?
I like the music. We should get music. All right. I love the music.
Let's pause for a few seconds, see if something comes up, and
go.
Wow, this is beautiful. So here we go. And now, a very special message from the icon, Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy actually tweeted our program, Steve, and he wrote this. Huge props to at King Carino's brilliant commentary. He knows his facts and appreciates talent. Steve truly shaped Big Money Matt and the iconic one.
Oh, and that's the thing, man. He is – Big Money Matt is great, and that's the thing. He is – he's the guy, and if you listen to my commentary in Best of the World, you know I was marking out hard. I was hoping that, like, he would give me an autograph after the show, and, man, it just – what a great guy. What a great guy. And, you know, I think he stole the show in Best of the World. There was no reason for him to take that bump that he took.
No, not at all. I mean, I was stunned. Again, I watched, you know, I've been watching a lot of 2001 Matt Hardy lately. I remember kind of seeing a lot of the even older stuff of Matt Hardy. So to see him in 2014 wrestling A on pay-per-view and B taking those risks still. I mean, he talked about in the interview, man, you know, Jeff is still, he's still a crazy and he still does a bunch of great stuff in the ring and I've kind of lost a step or two. And I watched that. I was like, wow, he's still doing a lot of remarkable things out there. And he really did. I mean, you know, the Briscoes really need to thank him and thank Bennett. They all just put on a wonderful performance.
Absolutely. My wife wants to say something about Matt.
Matt is the shit. And Revy Sky is even better.
See? Like that? My wife loves Revy Sky.
I do. I stalk her. I do.
We're going to have dinner.
Yeah. Right?
We're going to have dinner with the Hardys during the 4th of July. It'll be the Carinos and the Hardys.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Color me jealous on that front. Hashtag.
Right? Who wouldn't be jealous on that?
Hashtag green with envy over here in Massachusetts.
Hashtag green with envy. All right. Dissing Rob Dimension. Hashtag what a turd this week.
Hashtag the Hardys rock.
Thank you. You can tell it's vacation, right? Oh, that's my girl. Tomorrow she'll be asking you to not use that, but we're not. Okay, this is Dissing Rob Dimension, hashtag what a turd. This was my text to him this week. Yoga pants shouldn't be allowed to be made bigger than medium, and you shouldn't be wearing them. If you want to insult Rob Dimension, make sure you follow him at Rob Dimension. And I thought it was funny before we get into this, is that I made a comment on Best of the World, and I don't know if you caught this, Dan, where Nick Searcy's in, we're talking about the Peabody Award that Nick Searcy had won, and, you know, Kevin's downplaying it, and I said, well, I have a friend back home that's an actor. It doesn't mean he's very good. I probably got a dozen tweets that were like, oh, Rob Dimension, he just burned you. And I'm thinking, man, that wasn't about Rob Dimension. That was just a bit. So, yeah. That wasn't about Rob Dimension. I actually love Rob's acting and stuff like that. So I didn't
make that connection right away, but it kind of made me think about it. I did chuckle at it and was like, I wonder who he might be referring to there. It wasn't until you just said it that, yeah, I could see where someone would think it was Rob, but it wasn't, huh?
No, it wasn't him. I would have named him by name. I would have definitely, if I'm shitting on him, I'll definitely name him by name. Hey, before we go, make sure if you're in the North Carolina area, Mr. Wrestling 3 will be appearing at the Lumberton Flea Market. Oh, yes, not selling shit. Well, unless the heel's beating up on me. But he'll be there for Ring Warriors Carolina. My wife wants to say one more thing. Go ahead, honey.
Can we get a shout out to Aunt Casey and Cousin Taylor?
Yeah. Shout out to Aunt Casey and Uncle and Aunt Taylor. I almost said Uncle, sorry. Yeah. The ladies are having fun here at the Outer Banks. But yeah, make sure you come see Ring Warriors Carolina. RingWarriorsCarolina.net. Mr. Wrestling 3 will be appearing challenging C.W. Anderson for the PWF Heavyweight Championship. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at King Carino and all of my projects. Mr. Wrestling 3's Twitter is at Legend of the Mask PWF, which we had a great show last week. Hey, your predictions were pretty good. It's www.prowrestlingpwf.com. Also follow them on Twitter at PWF Legacy. Whew, I'm trying to think what else. Oh, my website. Don't forget to follow me on my website, www.worldofcarino.com. And make sure you buy those shirts. Shirts are going crazy. Crazy. ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Carino. Now, Dan, I know you want to end the show with this awesome plug. And just because I like everybody involved, I'm going to let you take it.
All right. Big show this week for the Kevin Kelly Show. It's a doozy. It's kind of the equivalent to the Matt Hardy Show for us. But the lovely and talented Maria Kanellis will be joining the podcast, joining Kevin Kelly and Justin Rosero. It'll be a terrific time. We had Mike Bennett earlier in our run with the Kevin Kelly Show, and now we have his other and much, much better half joining us on the Kevin Kelly Show. If you want to follow me, the few, the proud, the my following, it's at DMCG, that's DMCG4881 on the Twitter. So we certainly appreciate you joining us. There's only a couple dozen of us, but we're very loyal. So definitely check us out there, and also all of the great articles on placetobenation.com.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? For anybody that has never been around Maria Kanellis, she is awesome. She is just a real sweet person. Very, very smart. Very smart. Like, I'm taken away by how smart she is. And, you know, she's a blast. And you're going to love the show. Her and Kevin Kelly get along great. And you're going to get to see how great of a talent Maria Kanellis is. So make sure you listen to not just that show, the Kevin Kelly Show, but all the shows on the Place to Be Nation. There's a lot of great ones. And, you know, when I'm done vacation, I am going to listen to them all the way home, all the way to Lumberton, North Carolina, and then back to Emerald Isle. But hey, when we come back next week, we are going to have Tiger Jitsingh Jr., as I'll be up in Canada for Tiger Fest, and it is going to be a great time. So for my man Dan McGinn, our guest Guillotine Legrand, I am Steve Carino, and we'll be back next week for the Steve Carino Show.
Thank you for listening to the Steve Carino Show. Download the new episode every Friday at placetobenation.com.
Take a dip from me.